morning to the Gospel of John, two places, the Gospel of John in chapter 20, and then also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is, of course, what we call the resurrection chapter, and we want to look at some things again about the 40 days that Christ was here on earth and before his ascension. So let's go ahead and take the reading of God's word and look again here at, we first have for the account of the resurrection in John chapter 20, and we also have there again some other accounts of his appearances. So let's look at them. And starting there in verse 24, John chapter 20, and verse 24, we want to look at these 40 days we've had since Passover and resurrection morning. And as we do that, I want to just go ahead and examine some of the appearances of Christ in these 40 days. So let's begin our reading in John chapter 20 and verse 24. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you would, and you follow along in your Bible as I read a few verses. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in the hands the print in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." Look at chapter 21 while we're right there. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and again we have the account of the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Look with me at verse 5, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5. "And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present hour, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you again, Father, for your word and its thoroughness. Pray again that you touch our hearts as we consider your great love for your disciples here after the death, your death, burial, and resurrection. And Father, for your time, 40 days and 40 nights spent here on this earth after or in your resurrected body after the resurrection from the tomb. We'll praise you and thank you for opening our eyes and causing that we'd love you a little more, even because of this study. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. You may be seated as we consider this topic of the ascension. I'm ashamed to say, but it was very thought-provoking for me to understand that Thursday is Ascension Day. I never knew that. I never heard that. All my time in Tuscarora Baptist Church, it was never mentioned. In all my time in all the churches we've been to for 20 years, all my time as a believer for almost 50 years, I had never heard very much mention. When we moved here in 95, Of course, like every good Christian, our favorite store became the Himrod Farm Store. It used to be Walmart, but then it became the Himrod Farm Store. And so I zoomed in there to pick up some hardware right after we got here and on a Thursday, and they were closed. And they were closed for Ascension Day. And I thought, what is that? Who does that? Well, it turns out that the Mennonites do that again. And it turns out again that they've probably got a little more Bible understanding than I had seen again in all my times. And so let's consider this 40 days after the resurrection of Christ. Now, we know again that the Bible marks off. And I heard lots of preaching, and I preached myself on Pentecost, which is 50 days afterwards. And so you start marking off Sabbath or Sundays, first days of the week, or Sabbath days they march off. They marked off seven Sabbath days. Notice that that's 49. Seven Sabbath days after Passover, and that's 49 days. And then the next day is 50th day, which is Pentecost. And that's when the Feast of Weeks, as they call it, because they've marked off 7 weeks of Sabbath. And so that's the 50th day. And that's important too. And it's important again in the fact that that's when the law was given, and that's when the Spirit of God was given in Acts chapter 2. We'll look at that in a couple weeks. But right now, let's look at again the 40 days again that we had not really considered that much in any of our studies. In fact, I was just going through again my Christology section and my theology book and saying, I never even mentioned Ascension Day again. So we need to go ahead and include a little bit of background information so that we could properly worship this Thursday and find again the Mennonites. I don't know if anyone noticed, but there was droves of Mennonite buggies headed off to church this morning on the way in. They have sometimes, some Sundays are high holy days where, again, they all go. Other than that, Mennonites generally, buggy Mennonites, are only required to go to church every other week because of the hardships. And so, but every once in a while, they have what they call a high holy day where they all go. And I think that was today, again, because it is the Sunday before Ascension Day. That's a little Mennonite lesson for you there for free. But let's look again at these accounts. I've gone ahead and put together a study again in my 20 years since figuring out what Ascension Day is, and put together what I had hoped would be the appearances of Christ on every Sunday that he appeared to the disciples on Sunday. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to individuals on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And I was hoping to set some precedent again, that we have been worshiping on the first day of the week, because that's when Christ appeared to the disciples. We got the first one down pat, right? A little while ago, we did Easter. In fact, it was 5 weeks ago, I guess. Right? 5 weeks would be 35 days, and so 40th day again is coming up this week. So we can count off 5 Sundays and see again 5 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't think that was a coincidence. So what we looked at here again, and I've got them marked off in my little chart here again for the days of the month. So if Jesus was crucified on the 14th day of the month, he was dead 3 days in the tomb, and he rose on the 15th, 16th, 17th. 17th or 18th day of the month Abib. And so you can go ahead and count on the Hebrew calendar the months again, since he was crucified on the 14th. We do know that. There is some debate against Bible scholars about and non-scholars about exactly what day he was crucified on. And the Romans got that all mucked up with bad info. But again, notice again that he certainly appeared on the first day of the week, on that first Sunday, and he appeared with his disciples on that first Sunday. And we know again, just by studying the resurrection accounts, that he appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. He appeared to the women at the tomb. He appeared again to Peter. And let's go ahead and look at that appearance over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5 one more time for clarity. And he was seen of Cephas. Who's this Cephas guy? That's Simon Peter. And so remember, his name was changed again after he met Christ. His name got changed to Cephas. And so again, it's not used that much. Remember, there's another guy, got his name changed to Jacob, got his name changed to Israel. And there's a distinction about how you look at his name when it's talking about things that Jacob did in the flesh. Then you can see the name Jacob is used. When you see that Israel, again, is named, it's because there's something spiritual going on. Just a little hint there. And the same thing's true here for this name of Cephas. It's kind of interesting to look. And notice here that it doesn't say, oh, Peter saw him. It says that Cephas, his, what would you call that? Like his Christian name, I guess. His name that was given to him by Christ. And so verse 5 says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And notice again that as near as I can recollect, that was talking about the 12 corporately. We know that the 12 was no longer 12 because Judas was gone. And either this is talking about the 11, or it still could be referring to the time when Thomas wasn't there either, and then it would be the 10. So this is given, again, as a title of the 12 as the disciples rather than a head count. Does that make sense? So sometimes you have to deal with that. This same accounting is given again where it says that he was seen of the 11 over in Mark. I think it was chapter... I wrote that down somewhere. Let's look at the last book of Mark here. Last chapter of the book of Mark. Was that 16? And look at that appearance as well. Mark 16:14. 13 says, and they went and told it unto the residue, and neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. And so that, again, it's called the 11 this time, but notice that that could have been with Thomas present, because they definitely rebuked them at that unbelief. And so we have these appearances right around the first 2 weeks. And notice in our reading in John that it was 8 days afterwards. And so he appeared to the disciples, and he appeared to them, he came to them in the evening there, and had his first appearance to the 12, as it were. And again, then it says in our reading today, Thomas was not with them. He goes through all his line there. And in verse 26, and it says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Now, I already had my mind made up about what I wanted to believe about this. And so I finagled about the days and when they began, they're in the evening, and when they started, and tried again to make this 8 day period land on a Sunday. You can't do that again. So it does not fit. And so what day of the week would this be? If it was a Sunday night, and if they hadn't counted it to be a Monday, then 8 days later would be on a Monday or a Tuesday. And so notice again, we have this second appearance to the 12 that he comes. And then let's go on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at the other accountings there. And after that, he was seen of us, or seen of above 500 brethren at once. Where's that recorded in the Gospels? That's not. Okay. But again, notice that we have witness here from Paul, again, of the appearances of Christ that it happened. And so that didn't happen again at that same time. It was a later time again that they appeared to the 500, I'm sorry. Sometimes Baptist preachers exaggerate numbers. I want to be careful there. But the 500 at one time. And so that was probably up in Galilee. Remember, he told the disciples, go to Galilee and I will meet with you there. And so they went up to Galilee and they met with him there, because that's what he said that he was going to do. And there we have an account where he gathered. And I've always pictured that in my mind again, that it was at the Sea of Galilee where he preached the Sermon on the Mount, or again the preaching over the sea there in Capernaum. Someplace up there in Galilee, he met with them and was seen of 500 at one time. Verse 7 says, after that, he was seen of James. Again, we don't have a real accounting of when he was seen of James, but he was seen of James. James was, again, the pastor, bishop, elder of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Okay, so the first church that existed, James became the head of that. And so notice again that there was an appearance that was given to James specifically, as it's called out. And then it says, and then of all the apostles. And notice again that we find that he appeared to all of the apostles, and called different than the disciples here, the apostles. And he met with all of them, probably again in Galilee. So we have these five appearances of Jesus to in his resurrected body to the disciples and to the 500 and to many a witness. And notice here in John in chapter 21 that we only read a verse out of, that we have the appearances mentioned by the Apostle John himself. And so this appearance here could be where he appeared to all of the apostles. Probably, more likely, this is an appearance where he came to seven of the apostles. I've heard that, again, number bantered about. And so that's over in chapter 21. And remember, it's a guy named Peter who said, I go fishing. And he went out fishing. Again, for my preaching, I've set that up to be on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night, they should have been in prayer meeting. But instead, Peter said, nah, it doesn't look like anything's happening this week. I'm going fishing instead. And so notice that Peter, that's more than going fishing. That's Peter going, saying, I'm going back to my old life. And several of the disciples, you notice he said, I go with thee. Again, I forgot the exact wording. I go fishing. Then they say unto him, we also go with thee. There in verse 3. And so notice again that these are people going back to their old way of life. This is, as near as we could tell, it's well after the resurrection. Could be that next week. It was probably not on a Sunday, but they said, I'm going fishing. And so they're going back to their old life, and they're going back to their old ways. And remember, they catch no fish. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And so we find an account there in John chapter 21. This is the epilogue of the Gospel of John, by the way. A tremendous writing that is a narrative epilogue about the appearances of Christ. Notice it captures the very first calling of the disciples from the boat. It captures again the first miracle there of the draught of fishes. And it rehearses and it repeats that first draught of fishes. A lot of the modernists think that the apostles, they call them the witnesses, they don't even call them the witnesses, they call them the evangelists. The evangelists who wrote the Bible got all of their stories mixed up, and so they couldn't tell which draught of fishes was which, and they had their time scale all mixed up, and they mixed up their whole story. That's what Bible scholars of our day believe, because they do not believe that God wrote the Bible. Let me go ahead and tell you this. God wrote the Bible.
Amen.
He used man to write it, but God wrote the Bible, and he didn't get his stories mixed up. When Mary anointed the feet of Jesus, Mary did that two times, they're both recorded. When Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, they didn't mix up their numbers and get the stories all mixed up. That only happened once. No, the narrative that we have in our Bible is God's holy word. And every word of it is inspired, not one jot nor tittle. Well, even though that's Hebrew markings, again, one jot or tittle will not pass from the Greek writings here as well. And so we believe in the inerrancy of the scriptures, and we don't believe, again, there's a conflagration of stories that just get thrown together. No, God has given us a narrative that's very careful here. And here we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, here to the apostles as they're there. Having gone back to the fishing boats and done that. It's interesting, again, as I studied this and look it out, that remember Jesus came walking by the fishing boats, and they were there fishing, including John and James and Peter, I think, was at least Peter, James, and John was there, and they was all fishing, and he said, come and follow me, and they immediately left their boats, and they came and followed him. Remember that? Listen, and we often think, wow, look at that, and I've often heard it preached that, wow, look at that, they just dropped everything they were doing and went and followed Jesus at one word. No, that is not true. They had already been with Jesus. Remember, John was the apostle that was with John the Baptist, and he was a disciple of John the Baptist, and he left John the Baptist and began to follow Jesus. And again, at his baptism, again, Jesus went immediately, it says, but there was some time frame where the word went around that Jesus is come. The Messiah is come. We read in Psalms today, Psalms chapter 2, and there it says that they're going to mock and laugh at the Lord and His anointed. And I love looking that up in my Hebrew Bible, because "and His anointed" is pronounced like this, Messiah, okay? Praise the Lord. And so the Messiah is His anointed. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these disciples said, the Messiah has come. And again, I forgot all the accounting now, but Peter or Andrew went and got his brother Peter, and they came and they all followed him. And then Jesus was led into the wilderness, where he was how long?
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. Have we heard that term before?
Yes.
40 days, how long did it rain?
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. Every time there's a trial, every time there's a proof, there is again a proving of things. It's 40 days and 40 nights, and that's a repeated number that you find often in the Bible. And so notice again that he was tried 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. How long is that? That's a month and a half, okay? And so after that, he came back, and he saw the disciples back at their boat again, and he called them, and they immediately left their nets and followed him, because they were already convinced that he was the Messiah. And so, notice the appearances of Christ here again. And now he appears to them when they're back in their boats again, gone fishing, and they immediately leave the boats and follow him. It's interesting, and I don't know what to do with this information, is that they counted the fishes there. And that's significant. And we used to have remember that song we used to sing in in junior church? We used to sing a song about how many the count of the fishes was. And I never did figure out the significance of that number. But there it is. It's given to us. And I'm sure it's significant because God put it in the Bible. But notice again, and I've done everything you could possibly do with 153, divided it by 3 and took the remainders. Did your modulus 7 out of that. And I can't find no reason for the 153 fishes that was caught. It's 3 times 3 plus 17. No, 3 times 3 times 17, if that helps you at all. What was my point? So anyway, we have all these appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ for this 40-day period. And then let's go ahead and look at the book of Acts in chapter 1. The book of Acts in chapter 1. And cover a few things out of there. He appeared, as the Bible said, to James. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to 500 at one time. He had the recorded appearances with the disciples, as recorded there in John, and a couple of the other Gospels. And again, over this time period of 5 weeks, 5 Sundays had gone by. And again, don't mistake the fact that a Sunday became a very important day. That was the day that Christ rose from the dead. And so when they were 1 week later, they celebrated the resurrection of Christ because it was on the first day of the week. And so we have been worshiping on the first day of the week now ever since the resurrection of Christ. It says that Paul says to the church of Corinth that when you meet on the first day of the week. And so they met and they worshiped on the first day of the week. When Paul went to Greece and when he went to the Jews, he often met on the Sabbath day. And again, Ellen White was all wet when she made up her rules about what a Seventh-day Adventist would believe. And so again, understand that they did not meet to worship the resurrected Christ on the Sabbath day. They met to proselytize the Jews on the Sabbath day because that's the day that they met. But when the disciples met, they met on the first day of the week. And we want to discern that and understand that and clearly teach that because there's a lot of misinformation going on about our worship on the first day of the week. Some of it comes from Roman culture. They said it's now the Sabbath day. It's not a Sabbath day. It's not the Christian Sabbath day. We meet on the first day of the week. Let's go ahead and look out at Acts chapter 1. And notice again this one last meeting with Jesus. Notice he is called Jesus in many of those accounts. And Jesus is referring to his humanness. Christ is referring to his deity. Lord is referring to his title, his ownership of us and the world that he created. And therefore we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like to call him our Lord Jesus Christ even when I'm talking to an unsaved person, because there will come a day where their knee will bow and they will recognize him as our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Theophilus is a friend of Luke, Dr. Luke, who accompanied Paul again on all of his mission trips. And Dr. Luke here again had written the Gospel of Luke. It was not written by an evangelist. It was written by Luke. And we can tie again his close of that with his opening of this history book. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So notice again that as he was taken up again, before he was taken up, he spent this 40 days teaching and preaching to the apostles. I like the line on the disciples on the Emmaus Road, so perhaps you're familiar with it, where he says that he opened the scriptures and taught them all scriptures that pointed to what the Christ must go through. And so he did that again. He taught them from the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures, of what the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of Israel, must go through. To whom also he showed himself after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so notice again that there's the Great Commission. Two things we see out of this. Number one is that there was still some confusion or wondering about this kingdom. When are you going to come and be the king and rule over all Israel and rule the whole world under your kingdom? And notice again, Jesus said, oh, no, you guys misunderstood that. That ain't going to happen. He did not say that. What he said was, hey, it's not for you to know, O Harold Camping. It's not for you to know the days nor the times nor the seasons. Those things, again, are given to the Father. And again, it'll happen in his time frame. I believe we are in the last of the last days today. And again, as I look at the conditions of the world and I look at the conditionings worsening in this world at such a remarkable pace, I look at the elitists of the press. I look at the elitists of our government who, again, are all distraught because they're getting some of their progressive ideas kicked in their teeth. Their worship of the god of evolution, again, is being scoffed and laughed at. by the politicians that we just now voted into Washington, D.C. Again, and understand that, hey, we are in the last times. And if there's a great resurgence of Christianity, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But if not, understand that, hey, it's being fulfilled exactly as he said. And so here we're in those last times, and there will come a ruling of God through his only begotten Son, the Messiah, sitting on the throne of David in Zion, in Jerusalem. All those things are going to be fulfilled in God's time. And so secondly, notice again that he gives a commission to the disciples here. This commission is given five times in the Bible. It would behoove us as Christians to probably be able to find all five of them. I'll give you a hint. One's in Matthew, one's in Mark, one's in Luke, one's in John, and the fifth one is right here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. We have been commissioned to preach the gospel to every creature. We haven't been commissioned to take care of the poor nor rid the world of poverty. We have not been commissioned to feed the poor nor help the cripples. We have been commissioned to preach the gospel. And so, boy, never forget that. Never let that again slide. And always we got to keep an emphasis on keeping the main thing the main thing. We are not here to reform this world. We're here to preach the gospel to every creature. We are not in control of how effective that gospel may be in our twisted and demented society that we live in today. It's not like preaching the gospel was in the 1950s. Dr. Sheldon Smith said, if you can't go out on your city block and get at least three people saved in one Saturday afternoon, there's something seriously wrong with your testimony. Well, that might have been all good and true and stuff back in 1950. But listen, I've preached the gospel around this place here. Last year we had 14 souls make a profession of faith. But not one of them showed up here at the Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Not one of them. I can't detect, with the naked eye, I can't detect a single change in any of their lives. And so again, understand that our job is not the effectiveness of the gospel. Our job is just to preach the gospel. And we need to be doing the commission that we're given. Remember again the commission that was given to Isaiah or Jeremiah. That, hey, this is a stiff-necked people and you're not going to see any change, any result. But that does not change your commission. You preach to them anyway. And so we are to preach the gospel. That is our main commission, our main purpose, our main charter at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And doing it door to door is still a good biblical thing to do, according to Acts chapter 20. And so notice here again, he gives the commission and he emphasizes that, that's our job. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. This happened on a Thursday. How do you know it happened on a Thursday? Because I don't care how you count your calendars. I don't care how many times you correct. I don't care how many times the Romans or anyone else, the Julians. I don't care how many times they correct your calendar and change the dates. They have never changed the days of the week. We have always had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We know that he rose on a Sunday. Five of them makes 35 days. And if you count out 40 days, we know again that coming up this Thursday is resurrection or ascension Thursday again. And so he ascended here. This happened in their gathering on a Thursday. And while they, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And so notice again that as they went back, they still got 10 more days to wait. The 40th day he ascended. The 50th day is Pentecost. And that's again what appears in Acts chapter 2 here. And so as we consider these days, as we consider this week, it's good for us to be knowledgeable again of the appearances of Christ. It's good for us to be knowledgeable of the teachings of Christ, what he did for this 40 days and 40 nights. It's good for us again to acknowledge along with the Mennonites that this Thursday is a holy day. Now, it was on a Thursday. We don't know which one. You notice again that our April, what was Easter? Was April 1st this year? Or April 8th? April 1st. April 1st was Easter this year. And that's because they moved that calendar around according to the Hebrew calendar, according to when their Passover celebration is. So the Sunday after Passover, no matter what day of the week Passover falls on, the next Sunday after Passover is always what we recognize as Ascension Sunday, because it was the Sunday after Passover when he was crucified and rose again on that next Sunday after Passover. And so again, as we come into this Thursday, don't be treating it as some high holy day. Don't be treating it as some sacred day. We are not day worshipers. But it's good for us to acknowledge the fact again that Christ again was with his disciples for these 40 days. He taught them. And again, as we walk through this next week, it's good of us to be students of our Bible and students of our Lord. Father, praise you and thank you. I thank you that we can look at these scriptures and stand in awe of what you did with the disciples. And Father, sometimes we have just ignorance of your word. And I pray again that you'd even smile on our ignorance and touch us, Father, with your grace. Father, as we walk through this week, rejoicing again in the fact that you rose your son from the tomb, I pray that you'd even prepare our hearts as we would again approach Pentecost now and with a new insight again to the great love that you had with your only begotten son staying here on this earth for these 40 days. And Father, I pray again that you'd open our hearts to love you more and to walk with you, and even all the more in these last few days, Father, of this time when you proved your Son living again in his resurrected body. We'll praise you now and thank you for touching each one that's come out to worship. We thank you for your word. And thank you again that we can gather with other believers on this Lord's Day, the day that you rose your Son from the tomb. Bless our worship. Touch each heart. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab a songbook. Let's just sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. I should know that song number. 270 in our songbook. 270. Let's stand our invitation today. Let's just go ahead. Praise the Lord for what he did. Give us witness of his resurrected Son and cause again that, like Thomas, we could believe without seeing again and even take that blessing that was given in that verse by our Christ. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for thee, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.